Well, today we're ready to start our final lesson on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. This will be lesson number 99, and the final gift that we need to discuss are the gifts of healings. The gifts of healings is the last one of the power gifts that we'll be discussing. Now, just by way of a little review, let's set this all in context by discussing the gifts that we've covered so far. So let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, which introduces the gifts of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. And let's just read our text for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. And the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." That means God does not want us ignorant of his spiritual gifts. You don't hear much about it sometimes, but God says here he doesn't want us ignorant, and then he goes on to tell us what these gifts are. And so let's see what it says then. Down to verse 4. "Now there are diversities of gifts, but it's the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which works all in all." Now go on to verse 7. "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all." In other words, all the manifestations of the Spirit, which he's about to discuss in the following verses, are given to man for us to profit. In other words, it's good for us. It's something that we need to help us. And so all the gifts of the Holy Spirit are things that empower or equip man to do what God wants him to do on this earth. Now, these are manifestations of the Spirit, not manifestations of men. In other words, the Holy Spirit does this when he decides to, not when man decides to. The Holy Spirit initiates these gifts. That's what verse 7 means when it says, "But the manifestation of the," what? Of the Spirit, not of man, but the manifestation of the Holy Spirit is given through men to profit the one who receives this gift. Now, what are these gifts? "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit," and that'll be our topic for tonight, "to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man," or each man, "severally as he wills," as the Holy Spirit wills. Again, these gifts are manifestations of the Holy Spirit given as he wills, given when he wills. Man does not decide, "I think I'll exercise this gift and do it." No, it's as the Holy Spirit wills. Now, we've taken these nine gifts and we've subdivided them into three groups of three for convenience purposes. Let's review. First of all, we studied the vocal gifts. And what were they? They were the gift of prophecy, diverse tongues, and interpretation of tongues. And all these three vocal gifts have this one thing in common: they all say something. Those were the vocal gifts, which we've already studied in previous lessons. Then we studied the revelation gifts, which are the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. These gifts, the revelation gifts, all reveal something. And then finally, we began our study of the power gifts, which are the gift of faith, the working of miracles, and finally, tonight's lesson, the gifts of healings. All these power gifts do something. And all these nine gifts are given by the Holy Spirit as he decides and as he wills, and they're given to profit men. Okay, so let's just discuss now then tonight the gifts of healings. Now, we know if from studying the Bible, there's many ways a person can be healed. In the Bible, there's several ways. And this is just one more way, but it does differ from the other ways significantly, and we'll discuss that tonight. There's many ways a person can be healed, and all of these, except one, requires some level of faith on the one receiving. But what if you're God, and you want to heal ones who, through honest ignorance, know little about the Bible, know little about healing being for today, know little about the believer's rights and privileges. What if you want to heal these people? And through no fault of their own, they don't know these things. In this case, God usually uses the method of gifts of healings. And this will become clear later why he does this. When I say there's many ways a person can be healed, let's just summarize some of them. We could pray for someone in Jesus' name, couldn't we? That requires some level of faith. Jesus said in John 16:23, that whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will do. So that's one way we can be healed, is by asking or praying in Jesus' name. Here's another way. What about anointing with oil? James 5 says, if is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. And then they'll anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall raise him up. So there's another way a person could be healed. Another way he could be healed is just by speaking the word over somebody. Command the person in Jesus' name to be healed. Okay, Mark 11:23 says, if we speak into the mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast in the sea, and don't doubt in our heart, but believe those things which we say shall come to pass, we shall have whatsoever we say. So Jesus said that we could speak to the mountain, speak to the problem, speak to the sickness in Jesus' name. That's another way. Then there's the prayer of agreement. In Matthew 18:19, Jesus said, if two of you on earth shall agree as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them by their Father which is in heaven. So the prayer of agreement would be another way. There's the method of laying on of hands. Jesus said in Mark 16:18, he said, he that believeth on me in my name shall he, and he listed several things, and one of them was lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. There's many ways to be healed. You could claim the healing promise. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:24 that by Jesus' stripes ye were healed. Believers should know this, and they can act upon this, and that would be another way of being healed. And that was six methods, all requiring some level of faith on the part of the one needing healing. And then there's the seventh method of healing tonight we're going to discuss, called the gifts of healing. And we're going to find out that the main way it differs from the other methods is it does not require any particular faith on the one receiving the healing. Well, everybody just says, yay, here's one for me. No, if you're a believer and you've been a believer for a while, you don't qualify, and we'll find out why later. This method is primarily for people like unbelievers, people who through no fault of their own don't know that Jesus already purchased healing for them, don't know that healing is for today, don't know much about the Bible. And if this is if a person would qualify for these reasons, they would be a candidate. They would be the primary candidates, let's put it that way, for the gifts of healing. Now, let's go on and discuss this method. Now, first of all, we need to understand in 1 Corinthians 12:30, let's just read that. It says, let's start in verse 29. Let's go into verse 28. And God has set some in the church. First, what? Apostles. Secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Here, the Lord is listing in the Bible not the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but some of the ministries set in the church. And then it goes on to say in verse 29, are all apostles? Well, answer that question. Are all apostles? Is everyone you meet that's a believer an apostle? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No, but some are. Are all workers of miracles? No, but some do. Have all the gifts of healing? No, but some do. Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Now, here we're talking about ministry gifts. So not all have these ministries. Not all will be used this way. So first of all, not everybody will be used by God in this method of gifts of healing. When I say used by God, I mean to minister the gift. I'm not talking at this point about people receiving the gift, being healed, for example. Not all will have this ministry, but some will. All right? And they will minister this gift to others, primarily, we'll find out, those who, through no fault of their own, don't know much about healing. Who would fall into that category? Unbelievers would fall into that category. This gift is used a lot in the mission fields. A lot of people get healed that don't know Jesus. It's sort of a calling card of God to the unsaved, saying, God is here. He's working. He's alive today. Look at this man that just got healed. And God is using this to call people to him, showing that God is present. And then the evangelist gives an altar call after some of these healings, and people receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Some other people that get healed by this are baby Christians, and we'll find out why later. But primarily, full gospel Christians who know, have heard teaching on healing, who've been a Christian for many years, who know about the gifts of the Spirit, usually they don't get healed by this method. God expects them to use their faith and the fact that they already have been healed by Jesus' stripes and to act upon that promise. Okay, so let's go on and discuss this thing. Let's discuss some of the characteristics of the gift of healing as compared to healing through, say, a person's faith. Number one, this gift is usually ministered from one to another, not just by you believing for yourself. In other words, this gift is usually two people are involved, the one ministering the gift and the one receiving the gift. In some of the other methods, you can just receive the healing in private. You can just come before God and pray, believe God, and be healed. This method requires usually another person present. Usually you don't minister the gift of healing to yourself. It's ministered to someone else. Another characteristic of this method is some of the more spectacular healings occur with this method. Cripples being healed, lepers being healed, incurable sicknesses being healed. A third characteristic of this method is that little or no faith need be present in the one receiving the healing. As I said before, this method is given so a person can be healed who has little faith or that isn't a believer. And fourth, another characteristic of the gifts of healing is the one ministering the healing usually initiates this healing rather than the sick person initiating the healing. If you read through the Bible, you'll notice, especially in Jesus' ministry, many times people came to him for healing. A few other times, Jesus went to the person. Now, when Jesus went to the person, it was usually an example of the gifts of healing. When the people came to Jesus, usually they were healed by their faith. Such as, for example, the woman with the issue of blood. She came to Jesus. She fought her way through the crowd. In Mark chapter 5, it tells us about this, and laid her hands on Jesus' cloak and said, if I can touch but his garment, I shall be healed. She laid her hands on his cloak and was instantly healed. And Jesus suddenly turned about and says, who touched my clothes? In other words, Jesus did not initiate this healing. The woman did. She came to Jesus, and he turned to her and said, woman, thy faith has made thee whole. In other words, it wasn't Jesus coming to her. She came to Jesus. A characteristic of the gifts of healing is that it requires less faith on the part of the one needing healing than the other Bible methods, such as the methods that we just listed. So that is kind of a trademark of the gift of healing. Now, let's just ask some questions here that I think will clarify how this gift is used. Now, from what we've learned so far, let me just ask you some questions, and you just think about this. Who manifests the gifts of healing? What have we learned so far? Well, the Holy Spirit. It said it's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12:7 says. So the Holy Spirit manifests this gift. Who ministers the gift? Well, I thought you just said the Holy Spirit did. No, I said who manifests the gift? The Holy Spirit manifests it. But this gift is ministered through a Spirit-filled believer, a person who has this gift operating in their ministry. So that person would minister through the gift when the Holy Spirit manifests the gift. And this is an important distinction. The Holy Spirit will first manifest this gift. The person who's used in ministering the gift will sense this and minister this gift at that point in time to the person needed healing. But the person ministering the gift does not decide on their own when to manifest the gift. I hope that's clear. The Holy Spirit starts the process. Then he ministers this gift through a person, a Spirit-filled believer. And then who profits by the gift? Well, that's the person that needs the healing. So there's three personages involved, usually, in the ministry of the gifts of healing. The manifestation, the person who manifests it, which is the Holy Spirit, the person who ministers it, which would be the spirit-filled believer, and the person who profits by the gift, which was a person with the need for healing. What's the main difference about this method of healing? The main difference is that the Holy Spirit initiates this healing, not the person needing the healing. The Holy Spirit initiates it. And another thing that's different about this method is, and we'll see this later in our examples, is that the person receiving healing does not require a great deal of faith to receive. Okay, so God, in His mercy, provides methods for everyone to receive healing. And this one's primarily, as I said, for people who are baby Christians, unbelievers, people who through no fault of their own don't know much about, if anything, about healing. So why is this method in the Bible? For the reason I just said. So every man can profit. And usually it's the person that are ignorant of healing, God has this method in the Bible so they can receive healing as well. When will this gift be manifested? Well, we don't know. It's as the Holy Spirit wills. That's one drawback to this gift, is that in all the other methods in the Bible, we can initiate this gift, or not this gift, but the healing, by just coming to God and praying, or coming to God and praying the prayer of agreement, or calling for the elders of the church. That's all initiated by the person needing the healing. This method is different in that the Holy Spirit manifests this. So the Holy Spirit really comes to the person needing healing on His own initiative, not on the person needing the healing's initiative. So that's a big difference with this method of healing, the gifts of healing. All right, so let's ask some more questions. First of all, are these ministry gifts, including the gifts of healing and the gifts of the Holy Spirit in general, still in the church? Yes, they are, because it says in verse 28, God has set these in the church. And as long as the church exists, these gifts will exist. Now, the church will cease to exist someday when this whole thing shuts down. But for right now, the body of Christ is still on the earth, which is the church, and these ministry gifts are still set in the church by 1 Corinthians 12:28. Does everyone have this gift? No. We just read that God has set some in the church. And He says, are all apostles? And He goes on and says, do all have the gifts of healing? No, they don't. But some will. Who decides when to use the gift? You should know this by now. Who is it? It's the Holy Spirit. It says in verse 7, it's a manifestation of the Spirit given to every man, or the people, to profit. And in verse 11, it says, it's as He wills. It happens when He desires to manifest this gift. All right. So there's some facts about this method of the gifts of healings. Now, let me just mention something that's a misconception, and let me just clear something up here. There's a common misconception among Christians that this gift is primarily for the body of Christ, and that's not true. Now, let me just say this. Many Christians that I've talked to and seen seem to rely on and wait for this method to be manifested for them, when the chances of it working for them are very small. In fact, it seems that the chances of this method working for Christians decrease with the maturity of the Christians. The more mature they are, the more God expects them to use the methods in His Word to exercise their right to healing. In other words, the Word of God tells us that if you're a Christian, when you got saved by Jesus' stripes, ye were healed. Jesus not only took your sin, He took your infirmities. And He expects you, when you've been a Christian for a while, to know that. And when Satan tries to put sickness on you, to rise up and say, no, you don't, Satan. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, it is written that by Jesus' stripes I was healed, and I don't have to put up with this sickness, so you take your hands off of me. See, Christians should know this. This method is given primarily for people who don't know this, through no fault of their own. So the gifts of healing then are mainly for unbelievers, baby Christians, that means Christians with through no fault of their own, they're born again, they don't know these things yet, or even sometimes denominational Christians who've never heard about their healing rights of Christians through no fault of their own. Now, this is borne out by the fact that nowhere in the Bible do we see Christians receiving healing by this method. And we also know, just from anecdotal evidence, where modern-day ministers that operate in this gift say that they seldom see mature believers healed by this method. Gifts of healing are commonly seen on the mission fields among unbelievers, where God uses it as a kind of like a dinner bell for people to receive Jesus. In other words, they see this gift manifested, they see their friends get healed, they see God in their midst, and they say, "This is really God. I want to receive Him as my Savior," and they do. Christians are to receive healing primarily by exercising their healing rights, or by prayer, or by the prayer of agreement. That's another form of prayer. Or even calling for the elders of the church to be anointed with oil. That's primarily the methods that the believer is to use. These methods here are primarily for unbelievers or baby Christians. On this method, I mean, the gifts of healings. Now, having said that, let's go into the Bible and let's look at some examples of the gifts of healings. First of all, let's go to a classic case found in John chapter 5. So everybody will just turn there. Go to John chapter 5. And we'll read about a man who had an infirmity for 38 years. And we'll just start in with John chapter 5, and we'll start in with verse 1. It says, "After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool, which is called by the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, and it has five porches. In these five porches lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, all waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. And whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had." Now it gets personal. It goes down to a certain man there by the pool in this great multitude of people. "And a certain man was there among this great multitude, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto this man, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steps down before me. Jesus said unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath." Okay, so let's look at this case. Here we have a man who was bedridden for 38 years. And he was healed here by God. Now, this is a manifestation of the gifts of healing. Because the healing, first of all, was initiated by who? Was it initiated by the man laying by the pool? No, he didn't even know who Jesus was. He says, "Sir," like he didn't say Jesus, "I have no man." And then later, in verse 14, we see that Jesus met this man again. In fact, in verse 13, let's go up there and read. It says, "And he that was healed didn't know who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place." He didn't even know who Jesus was, so it certainly he wasn't healed by his faith. It was healed. The healing here was initiated by who? Jesus, going to the man. There was no prayer, no anointing with oil, No hands were laid on this person. No particular faith that we can see was exercised with this person. And he was only the only one healed out of this great multitude. As the Spirit wills. See, God, the Holy Spirit, through Jesus, came to this man. It was initiated by the Holy Spirit. It was a manifestation of the Holy Spirit as he wills. Remember when we read that back in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7? It's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit, and verse 11 says, it's as the Holy Spirit wills, not man. So this qualifies in all those cases. So it's an example of the gifts of healings in operation. Notice also here that the gift of the word of knowledge was in operation as well. Look down at verse 6. Well, verse 5, it said, this man had an infirmity of 38 years. Verse 6 says, and when Jesus saw him lie here and knew that he had been a long time this way, he said unto him, will you be made whole? How did Jesus know this? Did someone tell him there? Did someone just walk up and whisper in Jesus' ear, this man's been laying here 38 years? No, didn't tell us that. The best way we can see here is that Jesus just knew this. And he knew this by the Holy Spirit through the gift of the word of knowledge. Because remember, Jesus wasn't operating when he was on earth as God, the Bible tells us. It says that Jesus operated in the gifts and all the things that he done on earth through the power of his Father working through him. He gave up his godly powers when he came to earth, Philippians 2 tells us. And he operated here as a minister. He ministered here just as the body of Christ can minister here. He said, I don't do the works. He says, my Father dwelling in me, he doeth the works. And then he said in John chapter 5, verse 30, I can of mine own self do nothing. In other words, Jesus is saying, the works that you see doing are works done that my Father wants done through the power of the Holy Spirit working through me. That's how Jesus did his works. And so when Jesus received this knowledge that this man had been in this case for 38 years, it was a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. These gifts often work together. Manifestation of the Holy Spirit, the word of knowledge, to enable Jesus to know something about this man, to also enable Jesus to know which man to go to, and then to minister this gift through Jesus to the man. So the Holy Spirit manifested the gift. He used Jesus to minister the gift, and the man at the pool received the gift. Three personages were involved here. Okay, so this is a very interesting example of the gifts of healings here in John chapter 5, initiated by God as the Spirit wills. Now, let's just investigate this a little more closely here. Who initiated this healing? I'll ask you some questions. Think about this. Who initiated this healing? Yeah, the Holy Spirit, through Jesus, initiated this healing. How did Jesus know about this man's problem? As we just said, it must have been by the Holy Spirit through the word of knowledge. Did this man have any particular faith? No. He had no particular faith. He was just laying there by the pool, waiting on God to do something. He didn't even know Jesus. He didn't even know who he was. So this fits our fingerprint, if you will, or criteria for the gifts of healing. Was anyone else in this multitude sick, do you think? Yes, they all were. That's why they were there. It says there was a great multitude, in verse 3, of impotent folk lying there. Was there anyone else healed, though? Not that we know of. Now see, this is another hallmark of the gifts of healing. It is the Holy Spirit wills. It's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit as he wills. Now that's one thing about this gift. It's as the Holy Spirit wills. That left a lot of people still needing healing there, didn't it? Even after this one man was healed by this method, there were a lot of people there that were still laying by that pool when Jesus finally left. See, and then that's a problem some people have, is they're sitting around waiting for God to do something. When really, they should, if they're Christians, exercise their healing rites and get the healing process started in their body. Don't wait around for the gifts of healing. It will be manifested by the Holy Spirit as He wills in His time, if it's going to be manifested. So it's a great error by Christians to lay around waiting or sit around waiting for the Holy Spirit, for God to heal them by this method. Do you see that? Well, and you might say, are you saying that God doesn't always want to heal everybody? No, I'm not saying that at all. God always wants to heal people. But He's got at least six other methods that I've listed in this teaching that Christians may be healed by. This is one primarily for unbelievers or baby Christians. There's other methods for His own Spirit-filled believers to be healed by. In other words, after you grow up a little, God expects you to use what you know. This method, and another thing is, by the methods God's given for believers, you can get healed anytime you want to. You don't have to wait for this gift to be manifested. So I hope that just clarifies some of this. Why do you suppose God used this method? Well, there's several reasons God may have used this method in this case. It was a sign God is present to stimulate faith. It's for people who don't know Jesus. Now, let me just, you know, I'm just kind of prompted here, I think, to discuss something that is very clear in this little episode in the Bible here in John chapter 5. This John chapter 5 brings out, I think, the three primary traits of those who receive healing by this method. Now, you have to dig these things out, but the things that I've discussed before on the Holy Spirit manifesting this gift, there's three main traits those will have usually when this gift is manifested. Now, let's just look through here. Number one, what's the first trait? There'll be someone who doesn't know Jesus, usually, like an unbeliever. Now, look down here what this man says in verse 7. The impotent man answered him and said, Sir, he didn't know Jesus. And in fact, in verse 13, it says, And he that was healed didn't know who it was. That's one trait of people have usually who receive this gift. It's for people who don't know Jesus primarily. See that right here? Sir, he doesn't know Jesus. And it says he didn't know who it was. Number one, they don't know Jesus. Number two, People are waiting for man to help them. In other words, they don't have a very good degree of maturity to know that they can go directly to God. Hebrews tells us that we can come boldly to the throne of God to receive grace to help in time of need. We can come to God when we need to, anytime we want to. Believers should know that. But see, this man, it says here, Sir, I have no man. In other words, he's looking to man, and that's another characteristic of people, traits that they have, that God will sometimes just on his own come in and minister to these people, because through no fault of their own, they don't know who Jesus is. They're waiting for a man to help them, you know, because they don't know that they can come to God anytime they want. So there's a second characteristic. They're waiting for a man to help them. And then the third characteristic is, they're waiting for God. In other words, they're saying, if God wants to heal me, he'll just heal me whenever he wants to. And that's a characteristic of an immature person, not knowing their healing rights, not knowing that they can come to God anytime they want to receive the healing that they need. Yes, they're going to have faith. Yes, they need to believe the word of God. No, it may not be instantaneous, their healing, but they'll always attain their healing if they will just come to God, claim their healing rights, tell the enemy take his hands off of them, and quote the scriptures that tell them, like 1 Peter 2:24, that says, By Jesus' stripes I was healed. Go, Satan, just like Jesus did, it is written. Remember what Jesus did in the desert? He said to the devil, it is written. Just go to the devil and say, Satan, it is written, by Jesus' stripes I was healed. And quote that scripture to Satan. Tell him to take his hands off of you, and just stand fast for your healing, and it'll come. So we see three characteristics here. Number one, they don't know Jesus. Number two, they're waiting for a man. Number three, they're waiting for God. In other words, in this case, verse 4, The angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. And they're all there waiting for God to send his angel to trouble the water. So buried within this little example are the three traits of people who primarily will be ones that receive this gift. Number one, they don't know Jesus, maybe an unbeliever. Number two, they're waiting for a man to help them. They don't know that they can come to God on their own whenever they want to. Number three, they're waiting on God to do it in his own good time. Have you ever heard someone say, well, I think God's going to heal me, and he'll just do it. If he wants to heal me, he'll just do it when he gets ready. See, they're waiting on God to do something rather than just going out and taking a hold of their healing rights and telling the enemy, take his cotton picking hands off their body. So, buried in here is kind of interesting. The three traits of the people that primarily are recipients of this particular gift. So here was a man that was bedridden for 38 years that was healed by this method. Notice here that there was no prayer, no anointing with oil, no hands were laid on this guy, no particular faith was exhibited by him. He was healed on this particular day by this particular method as the Spirit wills. And that's the trademark of this method of healing. Don't wait around for it. It may not come, especially if you're a mature believer and been a believer for several years. But God still has this method for people who don't know about their healing rights, who may be unbelievers. God has methods to get everybody healed. Just use the method that's the one for you. If you're a believer and you've been a believer for a while, then there's some other methods that are primarily the ones you should use. But we're just having a lesson today of what this gifts of healings is and describing it so that you'll know what this gift is. So here we had a good example of the gifts of healings. Are there any other examples of the gifts of healings in the Bible? Yes, there are. Turn to John chapter 3, and we'll look at another one here while we're on this subject. Acts chapter 3 is another example of this gift. Let's just read. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. That was something that happened every day. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. In other words, asked them for some money. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon this man with John, said, look on us. And the man did, and he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. In other words, some money from them, really. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Now, let's kind of dissect this thing a little bit here. Here we have a beggar sitting there begging. Had he ever been there before? Well, it said they laid him here daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. It says in verse 1 that Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. That implies that at the ninth hour, which would be 3 o'clock in the afternoon, that Peter and John were in the habit of going up together into the temple. It says, being the ninth hour. They were in the habit of doing this. And this man was there every day. That means that Peter and John passed this man every day when they went into the temple. Now, what made them turn to this man on this particular day and catch his attention and say, why did Peter say, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I to thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Why didn't he do that before? As a matter of fact, Why didn't Jesus do it? This is just a short time after Jesus was on the earth going up into this temple. And this man had been this way from his mother's womb. Jesus, it most likely, had walked by this man many times going into the temple during his ministry. And yet, this man had never received healing, even from Jesus. What happened on this particular day for this particular man to be healed? Why did God suddenly decide to heal this man on this day? Well, we don't know. But what we do know is that the Holy Spirit decided on this particular day, for whatever reasons God had, to manifest himself in this manner through the gifts of healing by probably giving Peter a word of knowledge, saying, "Stop, look at this man, and say this unto him." And Peter did and obeyed. Otherwise, Jesus would have ministered to this man before, or Peter would have done it before. See, this gift is manifested as the Spirit wills. And given in here are these little hints, shows that they went up daily into the temple to pray. The man was laid there daily, and they walked by him every day. But on this one particular day, the Holy Spirit said to Peter, "Stop, minister to this man right now." Did this man come to Peter, or did Peter come to this man? The trademark, remember, one of the hallmarks of this method is that God goes to the person rather than the person coming to God. Just like when Jesus went to the man by the pool and stepped over probably many, many people to get to this man. There was a great multitude at the pool of Bethesda we just read about. Jesus worked his way through the crowd, stepping over people probably, since it was a great multitude by this pool, working his way finally to get to this man's side to bring healing just to the one man, as the Holy Spirit wills, as the Holy Spirit manifests himself through Jesus. Here again, we see the same thing. Peter's walking by. The man's being laid there daily. He's been there every day. Peter and John go up daily into the temple to pray. And on this one particular day, he feels the Holy Spirit nudge him and say, "Minister to this man right now." The Holy Spirit manifested himself through Peter, and the man received healing and walked. So here's another example of the gifts of healings. Why do God do it now? We don't really know. But we do know it just as the Spirit wills. Who initiated the healing? The Holy Spirit again. That's the hallmark of this method. God came to the man rather than the man coming to God. Yes. Who initiated the healing of the woman with the issue of blood when that happened? See, it was just the opposite, wasn't it? She came to God. She came to Jesus. She initiated the healing. She said, "If I may be touch his garment," in Mark chapter 5, "I shall be made whole." And she came to Jesus. She touched his garment, and Jesus was even surprised. He says, "I just felt healing power go out of my body. Who touched me?" And he turned about and saw the woman. And she says she told him all about her situation. And then he said, "Woman, thy faith has made thee whole." Not a supernatural manifestation initiated by the Holy Spirit made her whole, but healing initiated by her coming to God made her whole. Just the opposite, really. Her faith did it. Where in this particular case, and in the case with the man by the pool of Bethesda, it wasn't the person's faith needing healing that initiated it all. It was God, through the Holy Spirit, coming to them. That's the trademark of this method. All right, was Jesus' name used here in this method? Yes, it was. That's another trademark of this method, is that it's used the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is always used, really, to receive healing. If you go back and study in detail all the methods of healing, you can pray to the Father in the name of Jesus for healing. You can agree to him, or agree on earth as touching anything that shall ask in the name of Jesus. You can speak the word in Jesus' name to be healed. You can anoint with oil in Jesus' name to be healed. And in this case, the man used the gifts, or Peter used the gifts of healings in the name of Jesus. In verse 6 we see. In fact, if you go down to verse 16, and it said it was his name, Jesus' name, through faith in his name by Peter, has made this man strong, whom you see and know, yea, the faith which is by him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. His name. So we use the name of Jesus also when we use this gift, all right? So we're seeing another example here of the gifts of healing in operation. Again, notice, there was no prayer, no anointing with oil, no hands laid upon this man until he finally just lifted him by the wrist and said, rise and walk in Jesus' name. He took him by the right hand. No particular faith on the man's part again. And again, it was as the Spirit will. So here again, we have an example of the gifts of healing. Another example that fits all our criteria. Well, what are some of the advantages then of this gift? Well, first of all, as we've said, I'm just kind of summing up now, it requires less faith on the one needing healing than any of the other methods of healing that I mentioned. It enables those to be healed who know very little about God, that know little about his love, or little about his will to heal them, or little about healing being for today, or little about their healing rites. It's really for unbelievers or maybe baby Christians primarily. Well, is there any disadvantages to this method? Well, no method of healing is really a disadvantage, so I don't want to call it that. But let's just say that one problem might be is that people are waiting for this method to be manifested in their lives, and it's not going to happen. In other words, this is as the Holy Spirit wills at the particular time he wills to use this method. Does that mean God doesn't always want to heal people? No. There's many other methods people can come to God on their own anytime they please and be healed by. In this particular method, though, it is as the Spirit initiates, and it goes to who and when he wants to manifest it to. And like I said before, many Christians are relying on and waiting for this method to be manifested when the chance of it coming to them are quite small. In fact, the chances decrease with the degree of maturity of the Christian. It's mainly for unbelievers, as I said, baby Christians or denominational Christians who've never heard the Word of God on healing, being in their atonement. And this is really borne out by the fact that nowhere in the Bible do Christians receive healing by this method. We don't see any place in the Bible where Christians were healed by this method. So I hope this clears up a little bit about the gifts of healing in this case. And as a matter of fact, it's the end of our series on on the gifts of the Spirit, and we've covered all 9 gifts now, and I hope through these lessons it's clarified for the ones that have been patient and gone through all these lessons what these gifts are used for, why they're in the Bible, and just exactly what they are. So this completes then our teaching on the gifts of the Spirit. It completes our teaching in all 9 gifts, and so I hope you've learned about the gifts of healings and the rest of these gifts through our teaching. Okay, now let's go over our homework for lesson 99. And this is on the gifts of healings. Okay, first question. In the gifts of healing, the sick person normally calls on God to heal him. True or false? What did we learn? That would be false. Usually it's the God initiates the healing, not the person. So, in the gifts of healing, the sick person normally is sick, maybe doesn't even know that healing's available for him, and God, in his mercy, just decides on his own to initiate the healing process and heals the person without the person even necessarily praying to God. And that's one of the characteristics we learn in our lesson about the gifts of healing. So that would be false. Number two, using this method, it's difficult because it requires the sick person to have great faith. True or false? Well, as we learned in our lesson, this is false. Remember, this is the main trademark of this method is that it requires very little faith or no faith on the part of the person needing healing to be healed. In fact, if you look at our 2 examples that we covered in Acts chapter 3 and John chapter 5, in both cases, first by the lame man by the gate beautiful, Peter, the Holy Spirit healed through Peter. There was no faith exhibited on that man. He was just looking for money. And Peter looked him in the eye and said, "Silver and gold have I none, but the name of Jesus Christ, rise and walk." And he did. So it did not have any require any faith on the lame man. And also in John chapter 5, when the man laying by the pool of Bethesda, he was just laying there, and Jesus picked his way through all those people and came directly to him and healed the man. And so it wasn't difficult for them in the sense that they had to exhibit any faith. Okay, so that would be false as well. One advantage of this method is that people who know little about healing may be healed. True or false? True. That is one advantage of this method, is that the people that are healed many times know little about healing, don't know little about healing rites. Maybe they don't have any healing rites that they know about. And so God, in his mercy, has ways of getting these people healed as well. Although, as we learned, is as the Holy Spirit wills, and he manifests it when he desires to do that, not when man desires. So this would be true. The man at the pool of Bethesda didn't recognize Jesus and was frustrated that he didn't have anyone to help him get into the pool where God, through the angel, was moving. True or false? That's true. He did not recognize or know who Jesus was, it tells us here in John chapter 5, verse 7. In fact, it implies that when he said, the impotent man answered and said, "Sir, I have no man." He didn't say master. He didn't say Jesus. He said, "Sir," implying that whoever this guy was that came here and said, "Wilt thou be made whole," that he didn't have a man to get him into the pool. And further, when Jesus saw him the second time in verse 13, and he was talking, well, actually, this is when they were talking to him and asking, how did he get healed? And he that was healed, it said in verse 13, didn't know who it was that healed him. And so he did not recognize Jesus, so that's true. And he was frustrated that he didn't have anyone to help him get into the pool, because it says here in verse 7, he says, talking to Jesus, "I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another comes down before me." That would be frustrating. And so he was frustrated. So that's true. As a matter of fact, this whole episode here shows this example shows us three primary traits of people who will receive healing by this method. Number one, they don't know Jesus. You know, he says, "Sir, I have no man." He didn't know who it was, Jesus. Number two, they're looking to man for help. He says, "I have no man to help me with this." Number three, they're waiting on God to start the healing process. In other words, he was saying he was waiting on God to send his angel to trouble the water. And this is really an allegory for today, really, where it's this method is for people who, number one, usually don't know Jesus or don't know that he heals, don't know their healing rites. Number two, they're looking to men for help. They're searching all around. They're coming to various meetings, wondering if they can get healed. Number three, they're waiting on God to heal them, possibly. So I've heard people say this, "Well, God will heal me when he gets ready," implying that God has to start the process, when God clearly says in his Bible, "Come to me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. Draw near to me boldly to obtain grace to help in time of need. Exercise your healing rights. By Jesus' stripes ye were healed." You know, we can initiate the healing process anytime we choose. But primarily believers know this, and unbelievers don't know this, and so God has this method to get them healed as well. Next question. How many sick people were present at the pool? Well, if you read your Bible carefully, in verse 3 you'll see that there was a great multitude of impotent folk. They were blind, halt, withered. They're all waiting for the moving of the water. And when the first person got down there out of this great multitude, that person would then be healed. So there were a great multitude there. I researched this, and I looked in the Bible where the terms "great multitude" was used in other cases in the Gospels. And usually it was where there were thousands of people ministered to by Jesus. For example, in the Sermon on the Mount, when the healing I'm thinking of when Jesus fed the 5,000 and when he fed the 7,000. It talks in both cases about a great multitude being present. And so it could have been hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people there by this pool, a great multitude. So there were, to answer this question, you would put in there, great multitude, many, many, many people. How many people at the pool were healed by Jesus? Well, only one that we know of. It only mentions this one person being healed out of this great multitude. And again, this is a hallmark of this method of healing. It says the Holy Spirit wills to the person that he wills to manifest healing by this method. Next question. Why did Jesus go to this certain person? Well, we don't know for sure, but since it is a gift of the Holy Spirit, we can infer from this that it was an inner prompting by the Holy Spirit. Remember, we read that this gift is manifested as the Spirit wills. It's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Remember, Jesus didn't minister on the earth as the Son of God. He ministered as a prophet, inspired by God, anointed by God. It says when he was baptized in the River Jordan that the Holy Spirit came upon him from that time. He did not work any miracles before that time, till the Holy Spirit came upon him in the River Jordan. And after that, he ministered under the inspiration by the Holy Spirit. He said in his own self, in John 5:19, the Son can do nothing of himself. He said in John 5:30, I can of mine own self do nothing. He also said that this Father does the works. And so Jesus went to this person but the inner prompting of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit manifested himself as he willed and healed this certain person. So that's why Jesus went to this person. He was prompted by the Holy Spirit. And then when he got there, we find out the Holy Spirit further gave him a word of knowledge, telling him that this man, in verse 6, said Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he'd been a long time in that state. So how would he know this? It's the first time he's ever seen this man, but that the Holy Spirit, through the word of knowledge, told Jesus this. Next question. Jesus implied in verse 14 that the man was sick because he had sinned. True or false? Well, that's true. You go up there and read in verse 14. Jesus said to the man when he saw him later in the temple, behold, you have been made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. And, you know, we see that in the New Testament as well. 1 John 5:18 says, if we'll keep ourselves, the wicked one touches us not. Okay? And so, God is saying that sin can cause the enemy to come upon you and to bring sickness. Not always when a person is sick is it because they sin, but sometimes it is. So Jesus implied in verse 14 that this man was sick because he'd sinned. That's true. Next question. Sometimes God puts sickness on people to teach them a lesson. True or false? Well, if you've been hearing these lessons for a while, you know that's false. God never puts sickness on people. Acts 10:38 is a very clear case of where sickness comes from. It says God anointed, as we just talked about, Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. And then Jesus went about, it says, doing good. And what was that good? It says he healed all that were oppressed by the devil. In other words, all that Jesus healed were oppressed by the devil with his sickness. And so God doesn't put sickness on people. The devil puts sickness on people. And so that would be false. God does not put sickness on people. Next question. In the account of the lame man at the Gate Beautiful, we are given the impression that Peter and John had passed this lame man before. True or false? Well, that's true. If you go back and read that account very carefully, you'll see that this lame man, in verse 2 of Acts chapter 3, was laid daily at the gate of the temple. And it infers in verse 1 that they went up around the ninth hour every day. And so they surely passed this guy before. And so the answer to this question then would be true. We are given the impression that Peter and John had passed this lame man before. And here's a side question. Why didn't they pray with him earlier then? This just amplifies even more clearly the characteristic of the gifts of healings. It's manifested as the Spirit wills, not men. It's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit, not a manifestation of Peter looking at this man and saying, I think I'll pray with this man for healing. No, the Holy Spirit inspired Peter to speak to this man, and then the Holy Spirit healed this man through Peter, through the gifts of healing. And so this is just another example of how the Holy Spirit manifests these gifts, not man. Next question. The lame man was most likely healed because of his great faith. True or false? No, that's false. The lame man didn't exhibit any faith at all. Never says anything about him having any faith. In fact, he wasn't expecting to receive anything but some money. But Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but in the name of such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. So this was all initiated by the Holy Spirit through Peter. Yes, the lame man received a benefit, but it wasn't through his faith. It was through a manifestation of the gifts of healings in this case. Next question. The man was tired of being crippled, and that's why he came to Peter and John to be healed. Well, as we just discussed, that would be false. He didn't come to Peter and John. Peter came to him, and so that's false. Name two ways that this episode is different than the episode of the woman with the issue of blood in Mark chapter 5. How is this different? If you go back and read Mark chapter 5 about this woman with the issue of blood, and then read this in Acts chapter 3, how is this different? Well, number one, in Mark chapter 5, the woman came to Jesus. Jesus didn't go to the woman. As a matter of fact, it even surprised Jesus when she got healed. She touched Jesus' garment, and she said, if I may be touched by his cloak, I shall be healed. And at that moment, it says that a power flowed out of Jesus. And Jesus was so surprised, he turned about in the crowd and said, who touched me? And at that moment, the woman spoke up and said it was her. And Jesus said, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. So it's different in the sense that this woman came to Jesus. Because in this case, in Acts chapter 3, and as well as our episode in John chapter 5, Jesus, or the Holy Spirit, came to the sick. So there's a difference. In one case, the woman came to Jesus. In the other case, Jesus came to the sick, or the Holy Spirit sent Peter to the sick. So that's one way it's different. What's another way it's different? Well, it's different in the sense that in the case of the woman with the issue of blood, her faith got her whole. It says, woman, thy faith has made thee whole. Whereas in these other two cases we studied, their faith had nothing to do with it. So there's another difference. Next question. Name one advantage the method of gifts of healing has in getting healed. Well, in the previous question we've implied that since no particular faith was required on their part, that would be an advantage. No particular faith was required for the one receiving the healing. That would be one advantage to the method of gifts of healing. Another advantage would be that baby Christians and unbelievers could receive healing by this method. Usually mature Christians are not healed by this method. We don't have any examples in the New Testament of believers being healed by gifts of healing. And so we infer from this that it's primarily for unbelievers or for those with little faith, that God just supernaturally moves on the person's behalf and heals their bodies. So the advantages here are no particular faith is required, and you can be even a baby Christian or an unbeliever and receive healing. Name one potential problem with the sick trying to use this method. Well, first of all, you don't try to use this method. This method differs from the other methods of healing in the Bible in the sense that the sick does not initiate this healing. God initiates the healing. It's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit when He wills to do it, not when man wills. There are plenty of other methods, and we named six in our lesson, six others that man can initiate to receive their healing. This one differs in that the Holy Spirit initiates this method. And so one potential problem with the sick trying to use this method is that you don't try to use this method. You'd be waiting around maybe forever for this method to be manifested. Remember, the only one man got healed at the pool of Bethesda of all the sick. So if you're a Christian and you've been a Christian for a while, the best way for you to get healed is to exercise your healing rights and to come to God boldly and say, Father, I just exercise my healing right that says in the Bible that by Jesus' stripes I was healed, and I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth right now that I am the healed, because Jesus took my infirmities and he bore my sickness. That's all scriptural, and that's a right to the Christian. And then you can turn around and say to the enemy, Satan, in the name of Jesus, it is written that by Jesus' stripes I was healed. You take your hands off of my body right now in Jesus' name. And so then if you'll hang on and not waver in that faith, your healing then will be manifested. And so that is the way that believers receive healing primarily. Mature believers, that is. Next question. Is the gifts of healing exercised in Jesus' name? Yes, it is. We see that in John chapter 5, Jesus manifested this gift. So, of course, anything Jesus does is in his own name because Jesus did it. And we also see in Acts chapter 3 that Peter, when he spoke to the sick person or the lame man by the gate beautiful, he said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And so that is our scriptural example of using the name of Jesus in combination with this gift. Next question. The gifts of healing is seen in operation quite often on the mission field. That's true. We have anecdotal evidence from many missionaries that in the field and apostles as well that they see this gift manifested much more often among unbelievers or people that don't know anything about healing, maybe where there's other religions that are competing with Christianity, such as Buddhism or Muslims or things like that, that where these gifts are manifested to really show that God is present in this Christian manifestation of this gift. And this serves as, you might say, a dinner bell to call people to Jesus. In other words, Jesus is moving. Look, my friend here just got healed. This must really be God. And they come to Jesus in droves in the mission field. And so God uses this gift a lot of times on unbelievers on the mission fields where they haven't heard much about Jesus to get people healed. So yes, it is seen in operation quite often on the mission field. So that's true. Now, our last three questions. Let's just look at those. Who manifests the gift of healing? We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, that at this gift, as are all gifts of the Holy Spirit, they are manifestations of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit manifests this gift to profit people, to bring healing to people. All the gifts of the Holy Spirit are to profit. And he manifests himself through this gift to bring healing to people. And it's done as he will. So the Holy Spirit is the one who manifests the gifts of healing. Who ministers the gifts of healing? Any Spirit-filled believer that's chosen by God to receive this gift can minister this gift. So it would be a member of the body of Christ who ministers, a Spirit-filled member of the body of Christ who ministers the gift. Now, who receives the gift? The one needing healing is the one that receives the gift. And as we said, it's most often an unbeliever, a baby Christian, or a Christian who through no fault of their own don't know that healing has already been provided for them in the atonement. And they don't know that they need to enforce that right. Now, mature Christians should come to God on their own and use one of the other methods to receive healing. But for people who don't know, their healing rights, then they are the ones. Baby Christians, unbelievers primarily, are the ones that receive the gifts of healings. Well, that completes our homework, and it also completes our complete teaching on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I hope through these teachings that you've learned a little bit more about what these gifts are for and how they work.